Quick story, folks. Thursday night, Kirsten and I returned from a lovely vacation away. Friday morning, very early, I woke up because of jet lag and decided to turn on my computer, which had been mercifully dead and silent for 17 days, having not been turned on. And I figured, well, now I'll begin to catch up on all that I missed for those 17 days. And somehow in that time, my computer decided that it really did not want to wake up anymore. And try as hard as I might, I could not coax it into existence. And so I took it down to the computer hospital later that day, and they gently and lovingly took my computer and said, just about 2 weeks from now, we should have it restored for you. You can well imagine that for those of you like myself, in which your computer is a bit of an appendage to your body, to have it taken away for the next 2 weeks, to have all notes, files, everything else that I would depend on is somewhat discombobulating. And yet in the midst of that, and in the midst of all that being disconcerned by all that, I find there are these lovely people that will care for my computer and bring it back to health. I find that there are people here in this community right now that we are with who have gently guided me in the use of other devices. My wife has allowed me to share her computer so I can do this Zoom service. And it made me think as I went through this discombobulation of what we are going through in our life right now. For the last 2 months, we have gone in terms of COVID from a time of feeling very comfortable to a time of reemergence into crisis. And we have, in fact, gone from a time in which we began to really think about the joy of what it felt like to emerge again into a world that seemed to have shifted and changed in more positive ways, away from an online existence, to now wondering, do we need to re-entrench ourselves? And it is discombobulating and it is disconcerting. And so I give you the news that we are not alone. That just like those who have cared for my computer and now care for me as I move into a discombobulated moment, there are those in our community that if you are finding yourself uncertain, who are there for you and you are there for them, and God is present, absolutely fully present in this moment. Crisis or no crisis, God is present. And so we gather at this moment to reaffirm the presence of God with one another, reaffirm the presence of God in our community, and to live into that presence with one another. So welcome. Let us be gathered indeed in worship together.
Good morning. Please join us for the call to worship. How wonderful it is to be in the dwelling place of God.
The refreshing springs of God's love clean and restore us.
There is a place here for everyone. No one is turned away.
The least and the lost, the homeless and the hopeless are always welcome in God's house.
Praise to God, who invites and shelters us all.
Praise to God, who heals and sends us forth to serve. Amen.
Give peace, O God, give peace again.
Let us pray the gathering prayer. In the beauty of this moment, we have come to pray, to worship, to receive healing and hope. We come from the struggles and triumphs of the week, needing to feel the soothing presence of our God, who we ask to be with us this day. Calm and soothe our souls. Cause us to rejoice that you have provided a special place where we may gather to talk of your presence and love, to sing your praises, and to be empowered to go forth to serve. Amen.
So I want to invite all of the Keiki that are with us and those who are children Keiki at heart to join for a moment with me. You know, I spent the last 2 weeks, part of it in Southern Maryland with my in-laws, and then I spent the last week to 10 days with my son Micah and his girlfriend Greta in Minnesota. And I left Minnesota with the feeling that that may well be the friendliest place on the planet. Everywhere we went, the sense of the Aloha spirit that we value so much here was so present there with the way that people greeted us and welcomed us. And a perfect example is on the second to last day, I decided I was gonna go, I needed to go buy some groceries for my son. And there was this little coffee bake shop that had just opened up the road about 2 miles from his house. And so I pulled in there, and it was a place that featured mostly pastries from Mexico. And I walked into the store and the pastries were amazing. And I said, oh, I gotta have one of these. And I put one of these on a tray and took it up to pay for it. And I reached for my wallet only to realize that I had forgotten my wallet at home. And so I said, oh, I'll have to come back. And the owner looked at me and he said, don't worry, just take it. You can have it. And I said, no, I'll come back and get it. And then this other person who was in the store with me, she went to the owner. She said, don't worry, I'll pay for it for him. And so she went and paid for me to have that beautiful, wonderful pastry. Well, I did go home and I did go get my wallet and I did come back to the store and I did give them more than enough money than I had paid for than would the one pastry would have cost. Because I said, there will be other babuzes like me who will come into this store and will wonder and will have forgotten their wallet. Please use this for them. But what I took away from that is it was so easy for the owner to just offer me a free pastry. It was so easy for the person who was there to, on top of the breads that she was buying, just pay for one more pastry. It was so easy to just be kind and caring. And the least I could do is that phrase we all have heard, is pay it forward, is to pay it forward by going back and giving some money so somebody else could benefit from the kindness that these people had shown me. And I think about that. And I think about the truth of the matter is that when we orient our hearts to one another, sometimes it's really challenging. Sometimes there are big things that it's really hard to wrap our hearts around. But oftentimes what will change a person's day is the smallest little act of kindness. And that little act of kindness changes it. And we at Church of the Crossroads think about the fact that we can multiply those small acts of kindness by the ways in which we care and do ministry with one another that transform our own lives, but can transform the lives of those who are in our community as well. And oftentimes it is not big, huge, gigantic, big, hairy, audacious acts that we need to do. Instead, it can just be little acts of kindness. So today, when we have our breakout rooms afterwards, I'm hoping that the Keiki or you Keiki are going to stay and you're going to go into those breakout rooms and you're going to listen for what you are hearing are the ways in which we are practicing our kindness and allowing God's love to emanate from our hearts and into our actions. But not only that, you are going to not just listen, but you're going to share the ways you see that happen in your own lives and the things that you would like to see in the years, in the decades to come from Church of the Crossroads. We're gonna have pictures, different slides that are gonna be shown during the sermon time today, and you're gonna see pictures of a whole bunch of you. So it's not as if it's are we going to one day be part of a church that is doing kindness? You are already the people that are doing that. And we celebrate that. And we want to find ways that we can multiply that and make that happen more and more and more. That's how we bring the peace of Christ into the world. And so that being the case, I invite everyone to unmute yourself and to come and pass the peace of Christ with one another for a moment. Peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Godspeed. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Finally, be strong in your God and in the strength of God's power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. There ends today's reading.
Boo, it's all you.
All right, thank you. Aloha, church. So today's sermon is going to be delivered a little differently than you may be accustomed to. We're going to be reflecting on the state of Church of the Crossroads. You'll be hearing from all four of the church's mission teams, and then at the conclusion of a regular service, you will have two opportunities to participate in open discussion about not only the current state of the church, but the future state of the church. 2 years ago, this congregation kicked off a strategic planning process. The first task was to gather input from the congregation. There were opportunities to provide comments. If you remember the posters on the walls of the sanctuary or the neighborhood hui's in which we gathered and talked through the future of the church, that was the kickoff for that. But now it's time to start organizing the pieces of that input. So here on this next slide, you're gonna see the first piece of that input. These are words that regularly came up during that process among our congregation as to what Crossroads is in terms of an inward sense of identity. Crossroads is open and affirming, multi-generational, multicultural, inclusive, grounded, spiritual. The next words that regularly came up among the congregation were as to how Crossroads outwardly expresses itself by being a voice for peace and justice, LGBTQ plus people, Native Hawaiians, care of creation, challenge persons, refugees, immigrants. And then finally, when reflecting on the future Church of the Crossroads, common responses were that we aspire to incorporate Hawaiian spiritual wisdom, be active in community, be the presence of Christ, add ministry we feel called to, serve younger generations, evolve, let go of what we are not called to do, minister without doctrinal barriers, use facilities for mission and ministry, and engage in COFA and other immigrant issues. And then when you make an attempt to get all this information organized in a coherent way, this is what you end up with. So how do we focus our energy? The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to look at our organizational structure. So on this next slide, we have the organizational structure of the church. The way that this congregation is organized is that the congregation is the decision-making body of the church, that we do things together as a congregation. But then there are people who are elected to lead and to administer on behalf of the church. And those people are the coordinating council. And that's part of the reason why I'm the one kicking off this part of the sermon, is that I'm representing the coordinating council here. The coordinating council is composed of an executive committee and representatives from mission teams. On the other side of the organizational structure, we have our minister, we have Kahu, overseeing the staff and contractors, but also concerned about ministry. So that's where we have the overlap. It's actually rather cyclical. But whenever we're talking about the organization of the church, we are mission-oriented, mission-led. So that's why we circle down at the bottom the four mission teams. These mission teams are administration, nurture, peace, justice, stewardship of creation, and service. So those are who you will be hearing from today. Continuing on about how we focus our energy, we're going to focus on our mission. What is the mission of the Big C Church, meaning the church as a whole, all of Christianity? But how does Crossroads apply that mission? And we do that through our mission team structure. There are two ways that we might think about mission. There's inward mission and outward mission. The inward mission, in other words, is to ask, how do we serve and minister to our members and our congregants? And the outward mission is asking, how do we serve and minister to the community at large? So now as we do the strategic plan, which is in progress, there are going to be some things that we continue to discuss with each other as a congregation. So there are three actions here that I would ask everyone to consider, and that is to humbly consider the current work we're called to conclude, and to recognize the current work we're called to continue, and to discern new work we are called to begin. Furthermore, on how we're going to focus our energy, especially today in those breakout sessions, is to ask ourselves, do we have the resources to execute the mission we are called to? Do we have human resources, right? Do we have leaders? Do we have participants? An example of when human resources are needed, we don't just need leaders. We do need participants. If you take IHS cooking, for instance, if you just have one person leading and they do all the cooking, then that's a lot to put on one person. So sometimes ministry really calls us to work together as a team. Other resources we have to think about are the realities of financial resources as well as physical resources like facilities. And then the final questions we might consider for ourselves are, when we value ministry, do we feel called to participate in that ministry, or are we valuing it and observing the ministry of others? In other words, are we committing ourselves to ministry? Or are we trying to commit other people to do it? Or if we're not active in ministry, that's okay, because sometimes you don't feel called to certain acts of mission or ministry, but it is important overall as a church. In those cases, are we recognizing and supporting others in their ministry? And finally, to be really critical of ourselves, we need to ask ourselves the questions, do we make ministry about ourselves, right? Do we make it about me, my feelings, my benefits, or do we remain focused on the mission? So the next slide here are the list of topics for the breakout sessions. Whenever we break out into the rooms, you'll have your choice. It's not one group talks about all of the topics. You are focused on a very specific topic, and there will be facilitators in there. So at the conclusion of the regular service, you're going to be strongly encouraged to stay and participate. And then next up, we're going to hear from the mission teams. And right now, during the sermon portion, you're going to listen. And maybe you're going to see things for the first time, or something's going to be a refresher to you, or maybe it's going to compel you and make you feel called to do something in the future. If that's the case, attend one of their breakout sessions after the service. It's also time for the mission team leaders to listen and help chart out things with the strategic plan for the future of the church's mission. I will explain on that last slide, the 100th anniversary committee is not tied to a specific mission team, but it is a topic for discussion. So there will be a facilitator in there leading that. But we'll get back to those breakout sessions at the end of the service. Now I'm going to turn it over to the mission teams to speak for themselves, provide an overview and reflection on their mission and ministry, starting with the administration mission team.
Hello, I'm David Takagi, Property Use and Management. We feel that our church campus and grounds, if you think about it, is just a complete oasis. We have been so blessed with it. Our older buildings are 85 years old, and we have trees that are over 60 and 70 years old. And this is our task, to make sure that we provide a safe and aesthetic environment for church members, visitors, and tenants. Next slide. Our church is on the historical register. Well, so when we fix a roof, we just don't fix a roof. We have to do it accordingly. And here, five, 6 years ago, we started this project. It was $320,000. And these, you can see, these are cedar shake shingles that we needed to use. Next slide. And we're green. We have PV cells, so you can feel good about that. Next slide. And we put sweat equity in it. And here's an example of members scraping and repainting the red poles. Next slide. And here's an example of redoing our Weaver Hall stage. We've had talent contests here. We've had church plays. Here's an example of terrazzo before and after in our sanctuary. And we've had to get workers here and bring in workers from the mainland. Next slide. The middle beautiful art piece was made out of koa, and it was deteriorating. And now you have to see a replacement made of copper. Next slide. And we have a list of future projects that we need to do. There probably was a period of 15 or more years where there were a lot of deferred maintenance. Things were kind of okay, and we just let things go. Now we're catching up. Next. This is the way we work. Church facilities accommodate various activities of the congregation, also generating rental revenue exceeding $200,000 annually. And this is pre-COVID. So several years ago, church realized that funding for maintenance was insufficient. And there was a project backlog totaling hundreds of thousands of dollars. Since then, we budget $85,000 a year to take care of this backlog of deferred maintenance. It is estimated that when we're done with this deferred maintenance, that the average maintenance per year will cost us about $50,000 a year. Next slide. This is the way we operate. We select a project, we get cost estimates. POM submits the funding proposal to the council. The council, POM gets quotes and selects a licensed contractor. POM monitors the work. When completed, POM authorizes payment to the contractor. We have a rental policy. POM is responsible for renting church facilities. The biggest tenant by far is the early school, followed by the transition house and the Potter's Guild. Rental fees are based on market rates, with discounts given to organizations that have missions that are consistent with the mission of Crossroads. Next slide. We're always looking for interesting or interested people to help us. It really takes skill and conviction, and it's really a joy to work on this committee, and we'll share more details about it. We invite you to come to our breakout room. Thank you. Next slide. Aloha. See you later.
Good morning. I'm representing the mission of Nurture. And as you see, the mission of Nurture really is quite extensive in what it takes care of in the life of this church. There are three main areas. There's education, and under that is the church, school, and childcare, which I have been heading that up. Adult education, which Mark Wilson and Linda Rich have been heading. Our membership committee, our the prayer team, which kind of operates independently from us, but Maureen Bates has been wonderful at keeping the prayer team together. And then the worship committee, which I'll talk about soon. We also have some groups like the Neighborhood Hoolies that are, we are all divided up by our neighborhood. But during the pandemic, since we didn't really come together, Kahu and others put us into angel groups. There's about 10 or 12 angel groups, which we each had a group of people to keep in touch with while in pandemic. Worship also, oh yeah, worship also involves our choir director and a coordinator of lectors, Mimi. Okay, next. We say that our mission is to provide our members with spiritual, educational, social, and supportive care, and to promote new membership. What I'll first talk about is Christian education. That's been my my kuleana for almost 7 years now. In August 2014, I wrote, "What does it mean to be a church to provide, which provides its children with Christian education? As members of this church, is it our task to raise our children, our grandchildren, others' children, to have faith? Who will delve into the stories and parables of the Bible, listen to a child's great questions, and answer with wisdom and understanding if we don't? Even, especially maybe, as a progressive UCC church, we are still called to tell the stories, to pass on our wisdom of what it means to be a member of Christ's body to the next generation." This is Emma Kimura riding Matt Mustaine the donkey on Palm Sunday with her mother holding a palm behind her. 7 years later, as I transitioned from church school coordinator to incoming moderator in January, I ask for your interest and your kokua regarding Christian education. We do have two hired wonderful workers for childcare, but all the rest call on volunteers. The classes that we've had in the past, K to second, third to fifth, and middle school, high school, require two volunteers per class each quarter, as that's per Safe Church rules. We have been short of teachers for many years, so what do? Not teach our keiki? Instead, some of us have taught for many months. In 2015, I took an online course, Let's Ditch Sunday School. After that course, I dared to ditch the prepared curriculum. Its lessons, art activity, a suggested song from the CD they assembled, all ready for a teacher to prepare, or not, before Sunday. Our three focus areas now are telling our stories, building relationships, and creating rituals. We ordered Ralph Milton's Inclusive Language, the Family Story Bible, for families with younger children. These are wonderful, short, inclusive language stories, and Pearl Buck's compelling retellings in the Story Bible for our tweens and teens, now out of print, so a little harder to come by. Teachers and others had workshops to improve their storytelling skills in class, and we had storytellers in church. We had art sessions with a Waldorf art teacher, as art is a vitally important component of a story. In September 2015, we started in the beginning with a book of Genesis. Children often chose what they'd like to study. Women in the Bible, Naomi and Ruth, Rahab, Esther. They learned about David from shepherd boy to king. We dove into the parables of Jesus. Each child has a 9 by 12 drawing pad to respond to these stories through drawings and written reflections. Children cooperatively retold the story or dramatized it. Some dramatizations were presented in church. Wonderful creative teaching and learning was taking place, but now teaching required even more initiative and creativity. It was harder than ever to find enough adults willing to teach. As 2020 dawned, I wasn't sure what to do. So on Super Bowl Sunday, a group of parents brainstormed at my home, and they dubbed themselves the Superb Owls. Get it? And they came up with a plan. We would continue the Care of Creation Sundays, which have been ably led by Emily Gilmar and Tim Stoddard. And they also, we did a whole lot of things with Earth Sabbath. And also to continue the recently started, well, it was recent in 2020, Sports Sundays with Mono Nguyen, who right now is healing from a replaced ankle, and his other friends. We would start something called Sing Sundays. We want to keep children learning songs of the different seasons, and they have wonderful voices. They have sung with the adult choir. We would like to continue that. And we wanted to start a new family worship Sunday, where once a month, third graders and up would remain through worship. After our first family worship Sunday, which was March 15, 2020, the pandemic closed our church for 15 months, and we are closed again today. But amazing parents like Libby Rankern and Ehitu Kimura are now working to form a church school committee to plan and continue Christian education for the current about 37 children who make up the church school. They do need your kokua, and we do hope to see you at one of their breakout rooms later. Adult Ed, I wanted to say, has been ably led by Mark Wilson and Linda Rich. We have not met, obviously, in the hour before the worship service on a Sunday morning, but a couple books were studied during the pandemic virtually, If the Church Were Christian, and My Grandmother's Hands, about racialized trauma, which I think Val Wayne helped set up. Quite interesting books. And then Stuart Coleman set up a wonderful online virtual conversation with Jim Wallace, who has been with the Sojourners community, is now in a new position, but he was there for years and years in this past March. We go on to a little bit about the membership committee. The role of the membership is to talk to people about whether they would like to become a member of this congregation. Once they say they are interested, we set up new member classes. We find them a sponsor who will sponsor them as they become new members. And we welcome them. We have been having people join the church on Pentecost Sunday and also at the beginning of Advent. We try to have all members either, well, currently in angel groups or in a neighborhood hui. And we also, camp is more of an ad hoc group that plans camp, but we hope to go back to live camp someday soon. Okay, these are just some of the pictures of the new members. Actually, Kahu and Kirsten were some of our new members in 2017. Annie Renick, Irene, this is 2018 membership class. These three wonderful people. And this was a nice class in 2019. The people with the lay are the new members, the people without the lay are the sponsors. And lastly is our most recent class, which was a virtual class. Amazingly, we had all the way from Carlo in Italy join us to become members, as well as people on the mainland like Larry Jones and Avon, I think that's her name. And anyway, just wonderful, wonderful people have continued to become part of our congregation as full members. These are a little bit of the ways that members do get involved in the neighborhood hui. This is Mo'ili Ili group. Nice, wonderful potlucks. Remember when we used to be able to do those? Kaimuki, this is in Kathy Sox's house. And the last component of our nurture team is worship. And we have some people who have really served behind the scenes. Of course, we have the staff like Kahu David and Chris Serrano and Jennifer Perry. But these two volunteers, Becca Kessler and Linda Rich, are really behind the scenes folks who have done so much. Becca and her husband put up the banners for each liturgical season, put out the altar cloths, these beautifully designed cloths, many who have been designed by Ellen Carson Godby, who really deserves our sincere mahalo. She's made banners, also cloths, altar cloths, communion table cloths. The Keiki moment is a time that either Kahu or sometimes Becca and others will teach children about Bible stories, the liturgical seasons. Becca has put all these rocks representing the 40 days of Lent. They also help do the special services of the year. These are just two examples of Martin Luther King, where we give a Peacemaker Award and Epiphany in January. So when we scroll through these next few photos, here's Martin Luther King. This is the first Sunday of communion. First Sunday is communion, also food donations. This, I believe, is Epiphany, maybe, and this is our beautiful flower cross at Easter. And altar flowers is also a job that Becca has taken on, and finding volunteers each Sunday to put flowers on the altar. And Chris, of course, doing, I don't know how he does it, does a music adult choir virtually, but he does, has us all record and puts it all together into these recordings that you hear on Sundays. And Linda, I know, has helped a lot with hymn selections to fit the season. So thank you very much for your attention. I think I will go on to Kathy Socks.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Kathy Socks, and I'm representing the service team. The mission and ministry of service is essentially the work that we're doing out in the community. And we have lots of service projects, and we welcome everyone to work and fellowship as we bring the light of Christ into the community. Some of the projects we do include Tutu Bert. That was a collaboration with Irene when she was at IHS. Weekly IHS cooking, Serving Aloha was with Central Union Family Promise, Cycle of Sharing, the McCoar Program, John 17, 23, Care Ministry, and there are a variety of a lot of other short-term service projects that we don't necessarily come under the purview of service team, but we can support those as needed. So Cycle of Sharing started November 2020, and that was an evolution of not having fall fair because of the pandemic and a need that was identified by Roger Watanabe. And the McCoar program is led by longtime member Joan Matsukawa. And so far they've refurbished over 200 Mac computers to be distributed. Here's more pictures of Cycle of Sharing, items donated, volunteers, and recipients. And I believe this project will resume shortly. IHS through the years. So IHS was coordinated for a long time by Mary Reese and is now led by Becca Kessler and Marjorie Eno. There are 9 groups, and these are pictures of just the youth group cooking. And you can see my kids growing up as part of this project. Here's Eden with her tofu loaf. And she's really big now. She loves these pictures. Mary going to soccer after. These kids are busy. Here are them squishing tofu and making a tofu angel and a tofu snowman. Our team makes tofu enchilada loaf. These next 3 pictures, you can see everyone growing up through these slides. One of the things that I love about Crossroads is the teaching and modeling service and social awareness to my kids, and having structured volunteerism as part of their growth into hopefully caring people. So Care Ministry has a variety of projects that fall under Liz Nelson's leadership, including hospital and care home visits, coordinating rides, and educating folks on life and health-related issues. Prayer ministry also occurs with teams committed to daily prayer. So we started with Family Promise Hawaii before I even had Eden. So that's at least 15 years now. And this first picture is of my daughter, Mary, and Terry Ogawa setting up beds and was featured in Civil Beat. And this project takes many, many hands to pull off. These next three slides, we house about four families every quarter, providing beds and rooms, meals, and support. And with the pandemic, we had to shift to providing contactless meals. And this project seems to be evolving, so we'll keep you posted. These next few slides are my kids volunteering with me at Family Promise. We usually do the sleepover. Usually in a volunteer week, we have over 50 volunteers. And I feel like these experiences teach, at least to my kids, purpose, perspective, how to solve problems and be a better thinker, how to help others. And it builds friendships and fellowships with other Crossroaders. These are pictures of various short-term food collection projects. And even recently, church families made donation kits for homeless families in Sand Island. So my daughter helped with the Serving Aloha project. That was a project of Central Union that we supported. And I was really proud of her taking on this commitment for the summer and learning about mass food distribution. They supplied hundreds of food bags every week. I hope you enjoyed these slides. It's just a bit of what we do in our church and what we try to do for the world. Loving, you know, thy neighbor and being an expression of God's love. By serving others, I feel like we're expressing thanks to God. And God can reach others through your hands. So please lend your hands. If you want to contribute ideas or your leadership, propose new projects, or just find out how to be of service, check out our mission team breakout rooms with Galen Fox or contact us anytime. Thank you.
Aloha. Good morning. Noel Kent and I will take you through what's been happening with the Peace, Justice, and Stewardship of Creation mission team. And the visuals for the needs for peace, justice, and stewardship of creation are actually on the nightly news every night. So you've probably seen enough of that. So we're going to give you a break from those visuals and just talk about what we've been doing and might be doing. And if you have any ideas you'd like the team to consider, we meet on Zoom after the service on the last Sunday of every month. You're all invited to come, as you're also invited to come to these breakout rooms that'll be happening shortly. I'll review what we've been doing for the first half of the year, and then Noel will take us through what might be coming up in the months ahead. And in the breakout rooms, I'll facilitate one on the climate crisis, and Noel and Ellen Carson will facilitate two sessions on justice and equity. So turn up for those and love to hear your ideas. PJSC is focused on community action. We could call it faith through action, as is seen in so many of the other mission teams. Faith through action. Partly because of COVID, for the first half of 2021, PJSC concentrated on legislative lobbying and submitting testimony in support of a variety of bills. And we helped educate each other on these this legislation and also educated each other on how to submit testimony. And during the pandemic, in some ways, led us to having an even larger voice than we might ordinarily have as individuals. Some of our efforts were done in coordination with FACE, Faith Action for Community Equity, which is as most of you know, a lobbying organization for a number of different churches, and Crossroads is quite active in FACE. And our lobbying and testimony, we made some modest progress on a couple of issues, several issues actually. Under the peace mission, we supported bills banning assault weapons, banning large capacity magazines, and also banning ghost guns. And that last piece of legislation banning ghost guns did indeed pass. And I think thanks especially to the work of Ellen Carson. We still have work to do on the first two with assault weapons. Under the justice mission, we lobbied in support of taxing real estate investment trusts or REITs and requiring them to submit income reports so we can determine how much we might be losing by not taxing them. And we didn't actually get any taxes passed, but we were successful at the legislature in requiring them to submit income reports. Under the stewardship of creation mission, we and FACE supported a carbon tax bill in the legislature. It did not pass, but some of us also wrote testimony as individuals in support of sustainable green aviation fuel, and that legislation did pass. Under stewardship of creation, PJSC also contributed all kinds of individual efforts, especially in greening our own campus, from watering the plants, planting new trees. Chuck Burrows and Noel Kent have been doing great work there. And under the justice mission, we also lobbied for bills on the issues of minimum wage and affordable housing. No luck, but we plan to try again. And right now we're focused on lobbying the city council, which is a new agenda for us, for a vacant homes tax, which we think would help create more affordable housing. And I'll turn it over to Noel now for more on justice, equity, and upcoming initiatives, which include the Martin Luther King Award and the Wattata Lectures.
Aloha kakou, and mahalo, and thank you, Richard. So our sense is that Crossroads is a sort of a modestly sized church in some ways, but has always been in the forefront of issues such as peace, social justice, mutual and moral understanding, and has had an outsized influence on the community in terms of various issues. And what we would like to do at PJSC is to expand the impact of our voices by continuing, as Richard mentioned, joining with Faith Action in a sort of coalition. And it brings a host of other churches and nonprofits into the advocacy. There are marchers, educational forums, and other things in which we are part of. And also advocacy in the state legislature to change what we believe are unfair or oppressive laws, or to basically create new and more imaginative legislation that can help people who really need it. And as Richard mentioned, most of our work has been around affordable housing, jobs, raising the minimum wage, increasing educational and health opportunities for people who are lacking them right now. We're increasingly interested in the rights of Native Hawaiian people and also the rights of immigrants, especially Pacific Islanders in Hawaii, and then the climate crisis also. So we're right basically, I think, on the cutting edge of the kind of issues which really bedevil our society right now. And as Richard mentioned, to accomplish any of this, we're going to need more participation from people within the congregation. So if you can, please join us at our meetings. The next one will be, I think, the 29th, and we are going to, this Sunday, and we are going to discuss all these issues, including how do we begin to get real action on the RAITs and trusts and the VRBOs and increasingly, I think we'll begin talking about the problem of over-tourism and what might be some of the solutions that people begin to propose legislatively for dealing with a problem that's becoming increasingly acute in Hawaii. So mahalo, imua, and the PJSC will continue to be in there, fighting for the issues and the way of life that we feel we all deserve. Mahalo.
Well, thank you, Noel and Richard, for the PJSC report. Thank you, Kathy, about the nurture team. Lee with service team. Lee with the nurture team. David with the PUM and administrative report, as well as Fu. Fu is really the mastermind behind all of what we are doing this morning. And a great kudos to Fu for pulling together the concept and all this. I know there's a lot of information coming at you. And one of the things I really want to think about is that, you know, in the late 1990s and the early 2000s, Church of the Crossroads went through a process called the New Creations Initiative, a strategic planning process. And it was from there that the concept of the mission team structures that we now operate of, the mission teams of PJSC, of nurture, and of service emerged. And I think if we were to go back and we were to look at the folks that were conceiving of all of this 20 or so years ago and show them the slides of what is being done at present right now, I think that they would be both overwhelmed and overjoyed at the good work that is happening at Crossroads. What's really interesting is you look at the documentations from the New Creations Initiative is that one of the things that they write about, and I'm going to send out in an e-blast some of that documentation because I think it's really worth looking at, is that the mission of the church has to be centered in both personal and social transformation. And in that process, committed itself to these three mission teams of service, nurture, and PJSC, peace, justice, and the stewardship of creation. And what's really interesting is there are two very key words in all of that that keep getting lifted out more and more. One of them is ministry, and the other word is transformation. In fact, what comes through more and more is that it is all about transformation, that the ministry that we do is all about transformation. And when you think about that, those are two powerfully dynamic words. They are not about maintaining status quo, whether that is status quo of our own lives, status quo of the church, status quo of the community. They are frontline, full-bodied, full-spirited words that call us to constant reexamination, constant reinvention, and constant recreation. They are words that call us to, in fact, be at this point where we are right now, to be looking at ourselves and to be assessing, are we, in fact, involved in the transforming of our personal lives, of our community's lives, in the way that we wish to be? Are we, in fact, living on the edge of ministry that truly serves and changes the lives for our world, for our planet, for one another? And I want us to think back to when Fu started, is that this is a moment where we get to humbly consider the current work that we have been doing that we may need to conclude. Time to recognize the current work that we are called to continue, and time to discern the new work that we are called to begin. And I would add as well is to think about who is not part of our story right now that should be part of our story. And if so, how do we engage those folks to come and join the story? And who, secondly, is out there doing the work the Church of the Crossroads is already committed to, and how do we partner with them? We don't have to be the tent that everybody comes into. We can, in fact, be people that join in partnership with the work that is already being done within our community in so many ways. The scriptures that Ted read for us from Ephesians said, our struggle, is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Paul is very clear that the struggle that we are involved in is a struggle in which we are looking at the places where there is, in fact, as I think the words that Richard and Noel used, the things that are bedeviling us right now, where there is, in fact, places of injustice and inequity, places of imbalance, places where wholeness is longing to burst forth. Those are the places that we struggle against in our transformative work as the ministers, the ministry of Church of the Crossroads. And then Paul says, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. That is what we are called to. That proclamation of a gospel of peace, a gospel of love, a gospel of healing and wholeness for one another, for communities, for our world. And so I really hope that you all will stay on when the service ends and you will find a way to find your way to one of those breakout rooms and you will listen to the things that people are doing, share your thoughts, and allow us to begin this process, not begin, really continue entering into this process, which should be really a constancy in our lives of reexamination and renewal and recreation. For we are called to that. That is our prayer. Our constant and daily prayer. And speaking of prayers, let us transition ourselves now to a time in which we lift up the prayer needs of those that are within our community. So I ask you to take a deep breath and allow yourself to enter into an attitude of prayer. And certainly on our news every day is what is happening in Afghanistan. As Irene lifted up for us earlier as well, Richard Jackson asked that we would lift up in prayers for Americans and American friends in Kabul, Afghanistan, and throughout that region. God, hear our prayers. I look at my screen right now and I see Lee Takagi right there, and I recognize that indeed just 2 days ago we lost Esther at 98, almost 99 years old, and what a glorious and gracious and loving life that Esther lived, and the family was all able to be gathered there. So in memories of and grace of Esther, we lift up our prayers, and for her ohana, God, hear our prayers. Shanti asks as well that we, for prayers, two prayers. One is assistance for her as she goes through her housing contract. And then she prays that we would also remember that through all the disasters, both natural and human-made, people are people, and there is a heart in each one of us. God, hear those prayers. Diane Neal, who is Diane and Lonnie, who are with us as well, we lift up Diane in prayer right now for having suffered, fallen this week and is recovering from that, and Lonnie's care for her and the needs that arise after that moment. God, hear our prayers. Michael Yano asks that we would lift up in prayer for his sister Therese as she adopts to a new living situation. God, hear our prayers. Roger and David ask for prayers for our Lieutenant Governor Josh Green, who has been the target of racial slurs from angry anti-vaccine demonstrators outside of his home. They pray that he would receive effective support and protection from government and the community. God, hear our prayers. And there is a hand up with the Galaxy A715G. Not sure who that is, but if you can unmute yourself, offer your prayers as well. Yeah, okay. There we go.
This is me again. Shanti,
yeah.
And we have to worry about also on the East Coast, Larry and Judy Fiocco, because they're right in the middle of Hurricane Henri.
Right.
And we ourselves have to worry about Hurricane Linda.
Yep.
Because there's going to be flooding on the other side of the island and other islands too. Thank you.
Thank you, Shanti. God, hear those prayers. And Jeanette, do you have prayers that have been chatted to you?
As a matter of fact, I have quite a number.
Okay.
So It's one of those weeks, I think. So from Lee to Kagi, Lee, Chris, Peter, Greg, and Mark are all together as they celebrate the life of their mother, Esther Dye, who we hope was admitted to heaven as she died peacefully this past Friday on admission day.
God, hear our prayers.
Chris Serrano has a couple of prayers. First, prayers for his partner's family. We are approaching the anniversary of the passing of his father, Leonardo. Prayers for his uncle, Ruth, who was diagnosed with stage 3 prostate cancer and has not yet revealed it to his wife and children in the Philippines.
God, hear our prayers. Chris asked. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Chris says, prayers for my partner after receiving medical news about his own health.
God, hear our prayers.
And Chris asks for prayers of peace and productivity as a new semester begins tomorrow. Prayers of patience and grace as the semester goes along.
Indeed. God, hear those prayers.
From Liz Nelson, prayers for her brother Greg and his wife Jane as they make very difficult decisions.
God, hear our prayers.
Hulelehua asks for prayers for Rachel.
God, hear our prayers.
I have a prayer for everyone in healthcare who is, as they deal with this current huge crisis now, with grace and strength. Not only are they dealing with these professional challenges, but they're also being attacked by those in our community who call into question our integrity and professionalism. So many prayers are needed all around.
God, hear those prayers.
From Janet Gilmar, she asks for prayers for Afghanistan as a whole, that its people and others who have been helping them and will navigate the country's rocky road in the presence of God.
God, hear our prayers.
From Irene Hassan, prayers for the veterans of Afghanistan, Iraq, and Vietnam who are experiencing moral injury and confusion.
God, hear our prayers.
And I saved a happy one for the end from Gloria. Prayers of celebration for her son, Michael, and his wife, Haley, on their first wedding anniversary today.
Yay, God. Hear our prayers. And this one.
Can I check the chat?
Yeah.
I just want to check the chat because I think something came in. From Renita. Prayers for her grandma, Sammy Lee, for the doctors to find the source of her bleeding and for swift healing and recovery. And she also asked for prayers for her cousin, Sarah, and her 3 children to be able to find a job and housing.
God, hear our prayers. And Carrie and Stuart also asked us to say prayers for their friend Josh Guerrera, who passed away several years ago on this day. As a lifeguard, he saved many lives, and we are grateful for his friendship and service. God, all these prayers we ask you to hear, and hear us now as we join together in praying the Lord's Prayer as it comes on our screen. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven. The hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. For the hurts we cause others, forgive us. To forgive those who have hurt us, empower us in times of temptation and test, strengthen us from trial too great to endure, spare us from the grip of all that is evil, free us, for you reign in the glory of the power that is love now and forever. Amen.
All right. I just learned something new, that Gloria's son shares a wedding anniversary with Mimi and I.
Yay!
Yeah. So today, that was actually going to be where I started, but today is Mimi and my 23rd wedding anniversary. And I bring it up for a couple of reasons. First, because of how important the church has been to our lives together. Some of you may not know, but we met at Crossroads. And the first time we actually got a chance to speak was at a Faith Action for Community Equity meeting. A couple of years after we married, we moved to Japan for a few years. And when I finished my degree, Crossroads is a primary factor in our decision to return to Hawaii. And Crossroads continues to be central to our lives. Second, I bring up our anniversary because of the concept of anniversaries, to connect our anniversary to that of the Crossroads upcoming 100th anniversary. Anniversaries are celebrations of what has been, our accomplishments, at least in part. Right? And we got a lot of that with the mission team kind of reporting out today, a lot of those different things. At the same time, our relationships, Mimi's and mine, as well as ours as a community, live on and hopefully flourish because of what we do each day, now, and how we talk about and plan for the future together. What will our future look like? I mean, it was kind of the focus of what we've just been doing. But recently, the Washington Post began a series of articles exploring the future of the Black church. This week's article by Ashan Crawley, an associate professor of religious studies in African American and African studies at the University of Virginia, wrote a sorrowful but hopeful article entitled, "The Future of the Black Church Includes Its Ability to Reckon with How It Has Treated Its Queer Members." The week before that was, "The Future of the Black Church Looks More Like Dancing in the Streets Than Sitting in the Pews," which was by Dante Stewart, a student at the Candler School of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta. Stewart begins his piece focused on the dance of Joardus Ratty, a man from Los Angeles who danced in front of police as a way to express his frustrations during protests against the killing of George Floyd. Stewart is a wonderful writer and makes several thought-provoking statements, but I want to quote just the last few lines. Stewart finishes his article stating, "The same spirit in the church is the same spirit out on the street. I know dancing cannot save us, but it does remind me of something I need to hear again and again. You are human. You must survive. You must be free. You are not wayward. You are not a problem. You deserve the best we have to offer. You are loved. That type of love makes you shout and dance and put your feet on concrete. Everyone needs that type of love." In preparing for our anniversary, and this is just so happens, fits really well with what we did for our sermon today. As we celebrate who we have been, we also need to think about who we want to become and what we need to do to get there. Will the future of the Crossroads look more like dancing in the streets than sitting in the pews? Maybe. But whatever it's going to be like, the love that makes you shout and dance and put your feet on concrete will be at the center of it. To create that future, we need you all to engage in the process, sharing ideas, reaching out to others, devoting time, and doing what you can financially. Since we are online, please give your gifts and offerings by sending your checks to the church office or go to the Church of the Crossroads website. And you may know this, but the online donation button is in the upper right-hand corner of the page, of the main page. And if you need some help, you can call the office for assistance. With what we return to you today through our gifts, as we work today and plan for the future ministry, please help us to find a way to use the gifts in a way that embodies the love that makes people shout and dance and put their feet on concrete. Help us to dream your dreams. In your many holy names we pray. Amen.
Dream, Holy Spirit, help us dream of a world where there is justice and where everyone is free to build and grow and love and to simply have enough. The world will change when we dream God's dream. Mean less than what's within the person's heart. A world where water's clean and where air is safe to breathe, and every child born has enough to eat. Dream God's dream, Holy Spirit, help us dream of a world where there is justice and where everyone is free and love, and to simply have enough, the world will change when we dream God's dream. I'm dreaming of the call God is offering to me, how to use my energy and my best gifts to do the work of Christ, to say, God, please use my life to spread your healing love and to live your truth. Dream God's dream, Holy Spirit, help us dream of a world where there is justice and where everyone is free to build and grow in love and to simply have enough. The world will change when we dream God's dream. I'm dreaming of the way that I want my life to go. I've got hope and I've got goals I'd like to meet. I'm reaching for the stars, but I won't forget the scars of Christ who died to show that the dream's for all. Dream God's dream, Holy Spirit, help us dream of a world where there justice and where everyone is free to build and grow and love and to simply have enough. The world will change when we dream God's
And so may we indeed go forth from here today as the dreamers of God's dream, the builders of God's dream, the people of God's dream. May we indeed be that dream that God has called into being in this world. May ke aloha o ke akua a me kaulana puana o ka uhane he molele me o koa pau. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.